Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
All right. Praise the Lord. We are glad to be here yet another week. And we just thank God for what he is doing. We see a lot going on, and I thank God that he is up to something. Amen. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray to God that your word would go forth. It would impact us. It would change us. Dear God, that your word would be not something that we just read, but something that we do, something that we become. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. We're going to talk today on the topic, the power of unity. Now, I was watching a movie with my parents a couple weeks ago, and there was a movie, it was a war movie, and one guy, he got out and he was by himself, and then he ran into some of these other people that were a part of the army, but they did not know how to work together. They were just all going out, and they were in the middle of a battlefield. And in the battlefield, there was one scene where it was foggy, and the experienced soldier said, hey, let's do this. We're going to do this. We're going to shoot here. Then they'll shoot, because the only thing they could see in the fog was the light coming from the bullets. So they would shoot and then roll away. And then another guy would shoot wherever they saw those bullets to stop the enemy. And it just showed how important it is when you are operating together as a team, and the power of unity. And if when you see those kind of those scenes, just like, wow, that person could not have done that by themselves as effectively as they did in that movie. So we have to, as a church, even understand, learn from that, and add that to our repertoire. All right. So we have to make sure we are operating in the power of unity. Some of the key things, I'm going to have a few, three things. I think I'm going to have three things that I'm going to talk on concerning unity. And this is not going to be very long, but we have to make sure that we do not allow ourselves to be just cut apart from other people. In the day and age that we live in, it's kind of, we live in the cancel culture, right now. That's what it is. Cancel culture. If somebody says this, we're canceling them. Don't buy from them anymore. If somebody does this, we're going to cancel them. Get rid of them. We're not messing with them. Why? Because we are so together about some things, but then we're still so far apart about other things. So we got to understand, and this is to the church of God. You know, when people are preaching and God is speaking in this time, he's really speaking to his church. He's trying to get us to get back into unity. So one of the things that I do, I always say, is very important for unity is do unto others as you want them to do to you, right? Many times we, if somebody does us wrong, we say, I don't want to mess with them no more. I'm done with them. You basically cancel them, right? But God does not say do that. He says, do unto them as you want to be done to them. Let's go to look at that in Luke chapter 6, verse 30 through 36. And it says, give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners, guess this, love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, and if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that for you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those who you hope to receive back, I'm sorry, what credit is that for you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Now, when I see this, Really, sometimes if we just love the people that God called us to love, we are just like sinners. All right. We are not going beyond. See, a Christian is not somebody that's just going to do the normal thing. There's going to be times where we're going to have to go beyond what is normal. We're going to have to forgive even if they don't want to forgive, because we are being an example, not only for ourselves, but we are being an example of Jesus Christ in this world. When Jesus died on the cross, he did not die for you because you deserved it. I've heard some people say, well, it's because I was worth it. No, we weren't worth it. We were worthless. Without God sending his son, we would be in a worse condition, right? We would just be all, there would be no hope for us. We could keep on sacrificing, but there would not really be true hope for us. So when Jesus came, he came for those that were in need, and you accept him despite, right? We accept him. Despite who we are, despite how bad we were, despite how even quote unquote good we were, right? Because God gave us a gift that we didn't deserve. And we must do the same thing. This is when we talk about unity, we must do the same thing when we're talking to dealing with other people. Maybe you have somebody at your job that's just always got a nasty attitude. Maybe it's somebody that one of your friends is, you know, one day they're cool, the next day they're not. I don't know what it is, but extend the same hand that you would want extended to you. I know for me, you know, when we drive, and, you know, the COVID thing has actually kept traffic quite down, so you don't have as much issues when you're driving. But when you deal with somebody that's just driving crazy and you want to get upset, sometimes I'm like, man, that could be me, though. So let me just forgive him. It's okay. I just wave. It's all right. Praise God. Everybody's okay. Okay, cool. Let's just keep moving. Why? Because I want that same grace extended to me if I need it. Amen. So do unto others as you want done unto you. Now, there's another verse in the Bible that says, do unto others as you want done unto you. And it says, this is the rule of the prophets. And I was looking at that and I was like, wow, that's interesting that it's not just the golden rule, but he called it the rule of the prophets. So if I were you, I would dig deeper into what that is. Amen. Our response also is huge. Do you know the way that we respond to family could determine whether they tell us things in the future? Right? Sometimes they might say something and we're quick with a harsh word. don't say that to me. You don't know who you're talking to. You know, I'm this and I'm that. We act all super macho and bad, right? But that hinders unity. There's a word in the Bible that says, that just comes to my memory, that talks about a harsh word turns away, but a soft word basically allows unity, right? And it's important that we don't respond with harshness. Despite what we are going through, we have to still respond in love. That's how unity comes about. It says in Ephesians 4:29, I like this scripture. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So the words that we even speak must produce, as it said, edification. But really what the edification is doing, it is bringing you together. It is making you stronger. How many people do we know that watched this Michael Jordan documentary? And there's a lot of things that people said about it, and a lot of arguments that happened, that he wasn't the greatest teammate because he didn't speak well to his teammates. There was a story, couple stories, but one story in particular, one of the players, they were on a plane, and he said he don't get any food to eat because he played bad. And they almost started fighting. And there was a whole bunch of stories like this, but we don't understand that if he might have spoken differently, there could have been a different unity. There could have been something, a stronger bond. And as we see years later, there's still issues with some of those conversations. See, this is the thing. Some of the things that we say today, if we don't say them the right way, it will cause issues down the road. It will cause rifts and rafts where people were like, the last time I told him about that, it was just bad. So we have to be careful with how we respond. In the midst of America going on, what is dealing with today, Christians, how will we respond that shows the world that God's love is still here and God's love is with us? Because that's really what our response should be. Our response should always not just be about ourselves. We should not just have our own self, quote unquote, righteousness, indignation. Our stance should be with righteousness, but it should be about how we respond in righteousness. I know in the Bible it talks about when the enemy comes in like a flood, how's that scripture go? They will raise up a banner, right? They'll set up a standard, right? The people of God will set up a standard. We have to set up a standard right now with how we respond to the things that are going on in our world. I believe some of our responses as Christians have hindered us, and we want to make sure we respond in ways that God is pleased. Amen? So respond with something that's going to be edifying, not something that tears people down. Last thing about unity, and this is one of the scriptures that I remember even doing projects on this chapter right here. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, one of the things that we got to understand is unity is not always going to look like you. Okay, unity doesn't, you know, it's not just black in unity. Like, that's great. But how about the whole whoever God has created in unity? When we look at the church, one thing that my dad always says is our church is not just the whole church in general. If it's not our church, then it's not the church. We don't believe that. We believe that God is called all the people all around the world that are called by his name, that are seeking his word, to be part of the church, that have asked for forgiveness of their sins and they're walking in that, right? We believe that. So what we try to do, we have to make sure we walk in that unity. So there might be times where we have to connect and call somebody, make sure they're all right, okay? But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, and it says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of the one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body?" And that's a rhetorical question. He's saying, look, it's still part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow great honor. And our unpresentable parts have great modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given it great honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism. Now, what's the schism mean? Division. There should be no thing separating. He said that there should be no thing separating the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. See, what God is trying to get us to, and one of the things that we got to understand before God comes, he's coming back for a body, a bride. He even calls it a bride. And usually when you get married, I got married a little over 15 years ago. My wife looked at me when I said, but I got married over 15 years ago. And I know just from all the weddings that I go to, everybody, when they are getting married, they try to get their body in the best shape that they can. So you see people, "Oh, I'm getting married in 3 months," and they're in the gym every day, right? Trying to get their body right. Why? Because they want to look right on the day of presentation, right? God is trying to get us as the body to get right. All right. Some of us have got a lot of flab that we need to get rid of. And I'm not talking about just individually. It could be individually. But hopefully we need to be a body that is looking right. Amen. A body that is looking together. We can't walk around with 3 feet thinking, oh, we're going to go spread the gospel and without our mind. You know, you can't take off your head for it and add a foot and think it's going to work right. We have to work together. One of the things that it said is sometimes the less honorable parts the parts that we think are less honorable may be even the most, you know, the most important thing. A lot of people ask me, hey, Marquise, when I get married, what should I look for in a person? And I'm like, first of all, they got to love God. But after that, you got to kind of figure out what are some of the things that you have that are deal breakers that like, I can't deal with this. Or what are the things that you're really looking for? Some people have prayer lists. Pray over those things. Why? Because you want to make sure you are prepared for when marriage comes, right? You want to make sure, okay, I studied right. This is what I need to do. You have to get prepared. Us as the body of Christ, as we continue in this world, and guess what? I believe that it's going to continue to get worse. The Bible says that in the last days, it's going to get worse and worse and worse. We're going to see a whole bunch more, if I can say that. We're going to see a lot more happening. But we as the body, we got to say, look, let's put aside our differences. If you like the praise with this music and I like the praise with this music, let's blend them. If you like to sing and shout, that's okay. If you like to speak in tongues, that's all right. Because we are the body. We cannot allow these things to keep us separated. Amen. It says this as I continue. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. And you remember I spoke about this last week. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. And then it says, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do you all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret it? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. And then Paul continues in the next chapter talking about faith, hope, and love being the greatest, right, in chapter 13. But it's important to know that we must be together. Let's remove the things that are keeping us from walking in unity. Let's not worry about do they look like us. Sometimes we are so concerned with how people look when we miss, maybe there's an anointing on their lives. Right? David was overlooked. Even by a prophet. That's crazy, right? We think Samuel, the prophet of God, he knows and he went looking on the outside. He looked at all David's brothers and all David's brothers said, oh, they look nice. So yeah, that could be him right there. Wait, it could be him. And then he went through all of them and God was like, nah, he's not here. And even King Saul, his body looked great and they thought that was the guy. And he was for a time. But then he came to David, and some passages say that old rut, he was ruddy looking, you know, he's this funny looking boy, right? But God chose him because God does not look on the outward, but he looks at the heart. Let us look at the heart. Let us look at the heart of the body. What is the heart of the body? Us coming together, us loving like God has called us to love. Amen. So let us walk in the power of unity. God bless you.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.